We begin the current daf Masechtas Yuma daf Pei. We begin on the bottom line of Ayin Tes and Mabez, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, specifically regarding the halachas of shiurim, of measurements of different food items in their prohibitions. Now, specifically, what we're discussing is the halacha of Yom Kippurim, which one of the five inuim, the afflictions that apply in Yom Kippur, is the prohibition of consuming food or beverage, and the chiyuv, the liability that comes with it is when one eats the shear of a kesev asagasa, of a large date. Now the Gemara will continue on those halachas regarding defining these shiurim. So Tanya, learn the Braisa. Rabbi says, we continue on top of Pei Amud Aleph, Kol HaShiurim, all measurements that discuss in the halachas of consumption, of eating, Kulam B'Kezayis, they're all a reference to Kezayis. And as whenever the Torah talks about eating, that prohibition is applied in the measurement of a Kezayis, of the size of an olive. Chutz Mitumas Oichon, except for the transmission of Tumah of food items, Shashin HaKosah B'Meshamayin, where there the Torah changed the context, the understanding of the way it's written, which the Gemara will shortly explain what that is. And therefore, v'shin chacham b'shirin, that's why the chacham changed the measurement that applied to the tumah of eichlin. That is, again, although generally when we talk about food items, the measurements that are that make an obligation or create a liability is in the measurement of a kezayis. In the context of tumas eichlin, that food items could transmit tumah, that is in the measurement of a different shir, not of a zayis, but rather of a bay of an egg. And that's because since it changed the way it was written, so that's how we understood that means that the shir should also be different. And the proof to this, that to what we're saying, that because the Torah changed the way it's written, therefore the Chachamim, based on that, decided to change what the shear is, the measurement, is Yom Kippurim. We find by Yom Kippurim, where there also the Chachamim changed the measurement of liability, because the Pasuk changes the way it's written about the Isser of eating on Yom Kippur. Now the Gemara asks, where do we find by Yom Kippur that it was written in a different way, in a different format, and that's how we know that it's going to be a different measurement? Miloy Su'una. From the fact that it doesn't say that you cannot eat on Yom Kippur, one would think one of the prohibitions, like as if it said in the Torah, you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. It actually doesn't say that. It just says that Ashaloy Su'una, that the one who will be liable for the punishment of eating in Yom Kippur is because that he did not inflict himself. And as we learned in the previous stuff, what does the affliction mean? It means vayantcha bayarvecha. It means hunger. That's how we know the prohibition of eating in Yom Kippur. And therefore, the Chacham understood from the fact that there's a different way that it's being written. It doesn't say that you shouldn't eat. It says you should afflict yourself. And therefore, amayishin Chacham b'shira. So how did the Chacham change the measurement of the liability of eating Yom Kippur? That's kikoseves, that's the size of a date, and not the size as generally the violation is, where the size of a kezayis, of an olive, hey, that it wrote it differently, different mashmois, so therefore the shear they understood was also to be different, that of a kikoseves agasa. Now, and as we explained on previous stuff, that they decided that was the size of a kikoseves agasa, because since it's dependent on affliction, not on consumption, therefore, although consumption generally, achila is a kezayis, here it depends on affliction, so that's Yisuv Daita is only in the size of a Kesev Sagasa. Now the Gemara asks on this halacha that we just said, Umay Raya L'Davar Yom HaKippurim, what does this mean, that you want to have a proof for what we're telling you in the context of Tumas Oichlin, that because it changed the way it was written, that's how we know that obviously the measurement is different, because the Rosh should have said it in the way it's normally written, and therefore it's going to be different than Tumas Oichlin. What's our proof? Our proof is Yom Kippur. Now the question is, why did we need a proof? And moreover, what is the proof of Yom Kippurim more than by Tumas Eichlin? Both of them seem to be saying the same idea. Both of them are written in a different way than normally written of a food item in its prohibition. And both of them have a different measurements. So what would be the proof of Yom Kippurim to Tumas Eichlin if they're really saying the same thing? Why would we have to prove it from Yom Kippur? So that the Gemara answers, the Imi Hassam, had we only had, let's say, the context of Tumas Eichlin, and that we're saying that it changes the way it's written by Tumas Eichlin, Havamina, I would have thought to say that it's not really true. The Torah didn't really change the way it's written by Tumas Eichlin, because Urcha Dekrohu, it's the normative way of how the Torah writes it, sometimes in a certain stylistic way. But the terminology that is different, it says, Mikol Ha'Eichel Asher Ya'Ochel, from any food item that is eaten. Now, that's not really so different when it says Asher Ya'ochel, which it seems like it's extra, but we say the same thing by beverages too, Asher Yashase. And therefore, I would have thought to say that it's not such a difference to say that it should have a different share. That's why we have to bring a proof on Yom Kippurim, where there most definitely it's a totally written, totally different than normally, because it should have said you're not allowed to eat Yom Kippur. It doesn't say that. It says Ashalei Su'une. Now, and from there we see that the Chum changed the measurements. The violation of Yom Kippur is not with a Kezayis or a Kebeya. Actually, it's the size of a Keseva Sagasa. Now, from the fact that Chum changed that, so you could understand that. Now we relate and say, oh, we see there's a connection. There's an antecedent and there's a consequence. There's something that was written differently, and therefore we're going to interpret the measurement differently. Now we'll say we can understand that that's the same idea what happens over here by Tumas Eichon. That why is there a different measurement? That the Chum changed it not from the classical kezayis, but rather the size of a kebeya. Must be Raya Dov and Kippur when something's written differently. Oh, so therefore the measurement is going to be different, and that's the same idea what we have by Tumas Eichon, which we might not have known had we not had a clear-cut proof, which is most definitely it's written differently in the context of Yom Kippur. Now the Gemara goes back to this, what we just mentioned regarding Tumas Eichon, that we know that it's written differently, so we know the measurement is different. However, the Gemara asks, Tumas Eichon, regarding this contraction of Tumah of food items, but Kibay Minolan, how do we know that it's the size of an egg? We obviously know that it's not going to be the classic Kezayis, because it's written differently, as we just illustrated, but how do we know it's going to be the size of an egg? So in that, Amar Avo, Amar Belaza, says Damakra, he said in the name of his Rebbe Belaza that the Pasuk says of Yikra, that we just quoted, Mikol ha'oichel asher ya'ochel, from every food item which is eaten. Now, that sounds like oichel haba machmas oichel. We're talking about a food item that comes from a food item. That's the repetition, the redundancy of oichel and ya'ochel. Ve'ezezeh, what food item comes from a food? That's Beitzes Tarnagol, that's the egg of a hen, where it's a food coming from a food. And that's how we know it's the shear of kebeya regarding the transmission of tumah to food items. But that the Gemara asked, wait a second, that's not the only such case. Ve'emegedi, say it's a kid goat. It's a nan, it's a food coming from the mother of food. Now the Gemara says, no, you can't say that because mechusa shchita, it's lacking slaughtering. In other words, when the food item, so to speak, the child is formed and it comes out of the birth, that's not a food item yet to be considered a food item to contract tumah. Not it and not the mother either, because it's still lacking slaughtering. And therefore, it wouldn't be valid yet for the halacha of considering it as an eichel because it still has to be slaughtered. Then the Gemara asks, Ve'ema ben Pekua, say it's a reference to a fetus that's found inside a slaughtered animal, where the halacha is, as the Gemara brings in Chulin Daf Ayin Dalamad Aleph, that the slaughtering of the mother actually works for the embryo that's inside too, and you don't have to go ahead and slaughter it, so it's already a food item, and therefore it's an eichel from an eichel without having to go ahead and slaughter it. And then the Gemara says, no, because Toron Kriya, you still have to tear it. As the Mishnah there says, you have to tear the animal and remove the blood. So it's not yet a fit food item, whereas an egg is an egg. It's ready to eat as it is. It's already an oichel. That the Gemara asks, okay, from Beveima Beitzes Bar Yechani, say it's the egg of this bird, this large bird, which is called Yechani, which the Gemara Bukhari tells us in Daf Nun Zayin Mabez, that its egg had once drowned 60 cities, which a very large egg. So who said that for Tumas Eichlin is going to be the size of a regular egg of a hen? Maybe it's the egg of this huge bird, which is much larger. I think my answer is no, because this is a classical Gemara klal, which is tafasta meruba loy tafasta. If you can't grab something too large, tafasta mu tafasta, you have to first grab what is definite, what's smaller. And therefore, in this context, what it means is that when it's obviously a food item coming from a food item, now, so it would be in the context of an egg, and we're saying, but maybe it's a huge egg, we're not going to say something that's larger, we're going to take something that's smaller, and therefore, in this context, it will mean the egg of an hen, and that's how we know for Tumas Eichon the size of an egg. But then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, we're going for the smallest, tafas nemuit, ve'ema be'asa di tzipur, and maybe it's the egg of a tzipur, the zutatuva, which is much smaller, and maybe that's going to be even a more stringent shear of Tumas Eichel, and it's going to be contracting and conveying Tumah even on such a small size. So therefore the Gemara says that it seems that this halacha of Rebbe Elazar is not proven how this could be the source, because this Eichel comes from Eichel, because maybe it's not the size of our classic eggs that come from a hen, rather it's a much smaller egg. So therefore Rebbe Vo Dideyam, Rebbe Vo himself said, in other words, an explanation of the pasuk that was just quoted, not that his Rebbe, Rebbe Elazar, that he said over in his name, but he rather says a pshat that there's no question on. He says, to define the pasuk, it says, Mikol ha'oichel asher ya'ochel, from any food item which is eaten, which means, oichel shato oichel bevas achas. It means, what does that mean that it's eaten? It means that it's eaten at one time. The Shir Chacham, and the Chacham estimated that Im Beis HaBliya Machzik, the throat, cannot contain Yisim and Beitzah Tarnagel more than the egg of a hen. And therefore, the regular eggs that we're used to, the Beitzah Tarnagel, that is going to be the Shir of Tamas Eichlin, because that's what's Asher Ya'ochel, that's what's could be eaten at one time. More than that, it cannot contain, and smaller than that will not be exactly Asher Ya'ochel, because that won't be the max of what we're defining it as Asher Ya'ochel, what could be eaten at one time. That's the Beitzah of a Tarnagel, and that's the source how we know for Tamas Eichlin. Now the Gemara continues again with Rebbe Laza, continuing on this theme of the halachas of shiurim of measurements. So I'm Rebbe Laza. He says, "Oichel chaylev bezman hazeh." Someone eats forbidden fats today when there's no Beis HaMikdash to bring a carbon for the aveira that he's done. So tzorch sheichtav leishir. He has to write exactly the measurement. He did this aveira. He has to write down how much was the measurement that he had eaten. And the reason is shema yavi bezdin achar. Maybe later on bezdin is going to come. Mitzrayim and Mashiach comes and the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. The Yabba Bishurin, and then they're going to increase the measurements. And therefore, it's not going to be clear exactly what your halacha is. So you have to write exactly how much you eat. So the question the Gemara asks is, my Yabba Bishurin, what does it mean that then, because later on there might come a Bezdin that's going to increase the measurements of how we define in regards to forbidden food items, and hence that will have a relationship regarding your chiyuv for the chatas or not. Now, if you're saying that because maybe that they're going to make the person liable for even a small zayas. And as Rashi explains as follows, if let's say someone eats a kazayas, which is generally what's the liability for eating forbidden things, including chaylev, today, so and that is what Rebbe Elazar is saying, that once you're right, I ate the size of a zayas bein ani, a regular size of a zayas, because maybe the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built in his days, and there's going to be a bezin that's going to renew the halacha in the definitions of shiurim. And they're going to say, this share of kezias, there's many different sizes of olives. There's a small olive, there's a medium size, a large size olive. Now, though we go with the medium size, there might come a bezin that's going to say, you know, actually you're liable for even a smaller share of kezias. Now, the Gemara later on is going to ask, then it shouldn't have said that shemayab b'shiurim, they're going to increase the measurements. Actually, it should have said that they might even make the shiurim even smaller, that the kezias will be liable even for a smaller share. However, that's what the Gemara is entertaining right now, that it means to say that they're going to make the share smaller, and hence it's going to increase his liability. So therefore, although he didn't eat what would make him liable, you still have to write down, because it might be a factor that would be mechayev you in the future. And that the Gemara asks, V'tanya b'lur in the b'raisa, the pasuk in B'yikra and Perek Dal Pasuk of Beis, it says, in the beginning of that pasuk says, Ashenosi yachta, if the leader of the Jewish people will sin, V'asa achas mikol mitzvah Hashem al-Kav, is going to do one of the commandments of Hashem as God, asher lo yisei yosena, that should not be done, Bishkoga inadvertently, va'ashem, and he's liable. Now, that terminology of asher lo yisei yosena, that should not be done, sounds like that had he known about it, he would not have done it. It's just like the pasuk says, he did it bishkoga, and hence he became an ashem, he became liable. Now, what that sounds like as the Gemara darshins, it means hashav mi yediyaseh, only someone that does tshuva, he repents based on what he knows now, he's maybe carbon asher gagasa. He brings a carbon for what he had done by mistake. But loyshav midiyasa, if he's not doing tshuva because he now realizes what he had done, and that is, even had he known, he still would have done it, although he did it inadvertently this time, ain maybe carbon asher gagasa. Such a person does not bring a carbon on something that he has done inadvertently. And therefore, as Rashi explains what the Gemara's question is, therefore, if a bezin is going to come later on and renew the halacha, would that person be chayiv? And that is because this person ate before the chiddush of halacha, before a new bezin came and redefined the criteria of liability. It's not true, because he's not going to be a shav miyadiyasai, because I didn't know something and therefore I'm repenting. Because even had he known today, before, and that's because we're going in the context of now, had he known then what he knows now, that wouldn't be the case that he wouldn't have eaten it. Because now we know, as the Gemara in Brachas Lam Tesa Manaf explains, that we are only make a Medin Torah, a person liable for Yisroom that he eats, which is the Kazais Iguri, which is a middle sized size. And therefore, had you told him that, you know, you're eating less than that, he still wouldn't have stopped, because liability is not for that small size. So although later on the Bezin is going to come and the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, and they're going to say, you know what, liability actually is for a smaller share. although in your times before the Beis HaMikdash was built, and your Beis Din decided it was a middle-sized aleph, we're deciding it's smaller. Oh, and you did that, so you're liable. How does that work? Because that person is not what's considered shav midiyasai. Had he known when he was doing the violation, he was an inadvertent. That's when you bring a carbon. There's only when you do b'shagig. But had he known about it, he still wouldn't have stopped in the context of this liability, because he still would have known that that's not the threshold of the violation. It's only later that they were mechadish that. And therefore, how could you be mechayev a carbon based on that we should say you should write down how much it was? So therefore, the Gemara says, Ella, rather, it's the loy mechayev a carbon. Rather, the reason why you have to write down how much you ate is because maybe you're not going to be liable for a carbon until there's going to be a large size aleph. And what the Gemara is saying is, in the explanation of Rabbi Elazar's halacha, is that if someone eats a kazayis, what we commonly call kazayis, which is the middle-sized aleph, he should not write in his ledger, I am responsible to bring a karma chatas to the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, he should write, I ate a middle-sized aleph. He should write exactly how much he ate. Because maybe there's going to be a bezin that's going to come along and say that you're putter from a carbon, because they're going to redefine the criteria in a more lenient fashion. They're going to say, actually, kazayis means a large size olive. You ate a middle size, you're not liable. And therefore, if you're going to bring a carbon, you're going to be bringing chul and lazar, which is forbidden. Hence, that's why you should write down, and this actually works into the context of the words of Rabbi Elazar, where it's that maybe they're going to be mar b'shiurim, they can make the measurements bigger. Hence, your liability threshold will go even higher. And therefore, the fact that you ate a kazayis, which in our day is liable, you might actually be potter. Therefore, you have to write down so that you don't bring chul lazar. Now, the Gemara asks, what we had originally assumed, the first pshat the Gemara tried saying, to mechayev a carbon that kazayis cotton, to think that you should write down even when you eat less, because later on you might actually become liable. But then we said that can't be, because that wouldn't be shav yediyasai. But what were we even thinking in the first place? How do we define Rabbi Elazar's words? My yabar b'shurin. What is it? What would it mean that, because maybe they're going to be increasing the measurements? Actually, that's to the contrary. That would mean minimizing the measurements, and that the kazayis would be even smaller. So how were we entertaining that it would mean making it bigger? So on that, the Gemara says shemiyabar b'karbanis. What that would have meant was maybe they're going to be marba the liability for karbanis, machmashun, because of measurements, which they would making the measurements smaller, the threshold would be even lower, and hence you might become chayiv. But again, ultimately the Gemara refuted that and said that that wouldn't be shad midiyasa, and therefore that can't be the pshat that later on you'll be chayiv for carbon. Actually, it's a leniency. Even when you eat a kazayis, you should write down, because maybe that ultimately will make it bigger, and hence you might be parted from a carbon. Now the Gemara continues again on this theme of shiurim, of measurements. Amr B'Yechon, he says a general idea. He says, Shiurin v'Einshin, measurements in halacha and punishments, halacha l'mesh m'sinai. These are traditions that were passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu. These are not things that are written in the written Torah. On that, the Gemara asked, what do you mean, Einshin mechtav k'siv? We have all through the Torah punishments. How can we say that's only the oral law? Elachim, rather, what he meant to say was, Shiur m'shal Einshin. It was one idea that he was saying. The measurements of punishments, which means to say that through them there's a punishment, they are halacha l'meisha m'sinai. They are a tradition of halacha that was passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai. In other words, with what measurements would make someone liable for a punishment? As the Gemara says, Tanem Hoch, as we learned in the Braisa, Shiurin Shalanshin, the measurements of punishments are halacha l'meisha m'sinai. That was a tradition passed down from Sinai. Achayim, others say that no. Bezdin shal yaibitz tiknum. Happens to be it was the Bezdin of Asnil ben Kenaz, who was called Yaibitz. They instituted to say, what is the measurement to get a punishment for doing that? On that, the Gemara asks, how could you say that? Voksiv, the pasuk of Yikra that says, Eila ha-mitzvahs, these are the mitzvahs, which the drasha are, she'ein navi rishoy l'chadish dav miata, that no prophet, no one's allowed to come now and introduce new ideas to Klal Yisrael and say, you know what, although the Torah doesn't say, but I'm telling you what the measurement is to be chayiv for the oynish, it's going to be if you consume this amount. How could you say that nothing new is allowed to be introduced that wasn't before? And so how could we say that it was the bezdin of Asnil Beit Kenaz that said that? So now the Gemara answers, you're right, Ela Shokhum. What it was is that this was halacha Moshe Rabbeinu. Then they forgot what were the shiurim to get punishments for different Yisroelim, the Chazor v'Yostim, and then Asnil ben Kenaz and his Bezdin, they reinstituted, and that was from his pilpul, from all his understanding of halacha, they were able to then understand what it was, but it wasn't that they introduced it, they were just bringing back the understanding that they had forgotten in the meantime. Now the Gemara continues discussing a Mishnah that said, Hashayisim alei lugmav, if someone drinks a cheekful of beverage, of liquid on Yom Kippurim, then there's going to be chayiv for the violation of inoy on Yom Kippur. So that Amar Yehuda Mishmuel, he actually qualifies this halach, and he says, loy meloy lugm of mamish. It doesn't literally mean that he has to have his cheeks full of liquid. El kol she'ilu yisalkenu l'tzad echad. Rather, if someone would have moved it to one side, and it would seem like his cheeks are full, that enough would be make a person liable for drinking on Yom Kippur. And that the Gemara asks, but vanantanan, read our Mishnah. It says, meloy lugmav, his cheekfuls. How can you say it doesn't really mean that? It just means if he would move it to one side, it would look like his cheeks are full. And that the Gemara answers, ema kemeloy lugmav, it means like his cheeks are full, but it doesn't really have to mean your cheeks are full. It means if you would move it to one side and it would appear as such, that itself would be enough to make the person liable. But that the Gemara asks, Meisvi, learn the Braisa that says, kama yishta be chayiv, how much does a person have to drink on Yom Kippur to be chayiv? So there's machloikis. There's many opinions. Beishamei Im Revius, Beishamei says, with a Revius. Ubeisila Imrim, Maloy Lugmav. So that's again the same opinion as our Mishnah. Rebbe Yehuda Im, Mishnah Mablaza, he says, Kimaloy Lugmav. Like the shear of Maloy Lugmav. Rebbe Yehuda Ben, Beseira Im, he says, Kadei Gemia, the amount of a swallow. Now, on that the question is, we see Beishil is saying, Maloy Lugmav. So the Gemara answers first. This Gemara says, what do I mean? Mi'adiva mimis niten? Is it better than our Mishnah? Although we know we follow halachas like Beis Hillel, but do kimna kedei shira? We'll establish it as we said in our Mishnah that it appears like it's full. Hachanami kedei shira, here when Beis Hillel says meloy lugmav, it means that it will appear like meloy lugmav, but really it's not. And it's just that if you moved it to one side, it would appear like it is. And that the Gemara asks, Ihachi haini Rebbe Elazar, but then that's exactly what Rebbe Elazar is saying. Rebbe Elazar already says, Kim Eloi Lugmav, which that means, wait, if you would move it to one side, it would appear as such. So Beis Hillel that says the words Meloi Lugmav must mean literally cheeks full, and therefore that would make sense that our Mishnah is saying the same idea, Meloi Lugmav, it literally means your cheeks are full. And that the Gemara says, no, they're really, they're both saying Kim Eloi Lugmav, that it would appear as if the cheeks are full. But it can be denied, the difference between them is Meloi Lugmav Dachuk. We're talking about that when you're, which literally means like you're pushing it, if that's considered Meloi Lugmav. That is, according to Beis Hillel, you need to have that if you were to move it to one side, it would seem like you have a fullness of the cheekful. Whereas Rebbe Elazar would hold that it's Kemeloi Lugmav. That is, even like what's called pushing it, meaning it's not really like a full and vast cheekful. Even just like bedeichik, what's it called, like, which literally means like pushing, it's not really such a great cheekful, that would be enough. That's why I use the term kimaloi lugmav, which is much lower than thing maloi lugmav, but both of them really are only saying that it should appear as such. It just basically requires a much fuller cheekful, that appearance of it, than the shir of Rebbe Elazar. The mask of Rav Hoshe asks on this, continues to ask on this opinion that maloi lugmav, which we want to see even Beis Hillel, means it's kimaloi lugmav, it's not really the cheeks full. But Im Kain, if that's the case, that Beis Hillel was making him liable only as if you would move it to one side, with not really both cheeks are full, then that's really less than the shear of a Revius. And if that's the case, Havalei Mikuli Beis Shammai Umachur Beis Hillel, that comes out that this is a leniency of Beis Shammai here, because Beis Shammai says you're liable with Revius, and it comes out it's a stringency of Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel is saying you're chayiv for even a smaller shear, less than Revius, which is Kumalei Lugma. Now, the reason why that's difficult is because then it should have been mentioned in Masechtas Idias, which goes through the leniencies of Beis Shammai, and it says all of them there, because generally Beis Shammai is machmer and Beis Hillel is mekel, and it doesn't say this case over there. But if it's the way we're explaining now, that if Beis Hillel is maloi lugmav really, so Beis Hillel is going to be the more lenient one. You're not chayv until you have your cheeks full. Whereas Beis Shammai is even when you have just a revius. But if we're saying now it's kimaloi lugmav, that's less than revius. So Beis Hillel is going to be the Machmer, and Beis Shammai is going to be the Mekel, and that should have been mentioned in Idias. So the Gemara says, Amalei, he said to him, continuing to Amiz Beis, Ki Ishel, when this question was asked in the Beis Medrash, regarding what this Bryce was talking about, how much should a person drink on Yom Kippur and Bichayiv, which is what Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were arguing about, was Be'og Melech HaBoshen Ishel. They were asking about someone the size of like Be'og Melech HaBoshen, in other words, someone that's a giant. That's who they're asking about. And in that case, Beis Shammai actually is going to be the more stringent opinion, because he holds that even with a revius, you're going to be chayiv, which is a major stringency in regards to a giant, where his, even one cheekful, kimalei lugmov, is much bigger than the revi'is, and hence Beis Hillel is going to be the mekel, and Mishnah is going to be the machmer. That's why it's not mentioned in Idyas, because the context of the machlekes, we're talking about a giant, not a regular person. So although a regular person, yes, it would be that Bisham is the mekel, but since we're not talking about that case, that's why it wasn't mentioned in Masechtas Idyas. Now the Gemara says, Maskel Rebzir, Rebzir asks regarding this Iker Halacha itself. Now, Maishna Achila, what's the difference when we talk about the Isser of eating on Yom Kippur, to Cholchad V'chad B'Koyseves, that we say every single person, no matter his size, what he is, we say that he's liable for eating the size of a date. But why is drinking different in Yom Kippur? The Cholchad V'chad B'Didei, where we said that every single person goes according to his cheekfuls. Right? Even if you say, don't say it's two cheekfuls, it's one cheekful, Kamalei Lugma, but it still depends on that person. If it's a person small, it's going to be smaller. If he's big, it's going to be bigger depending on his cheekful. Why is it? What is this discrepancy? They're both learned out from the same pasuk of Loi Su'una, and so therefore, why is eating one size and drinking, it depends on the person? Similarly, Abaye says to him, which he's going to repeat this refrain many times in the Gemara, he says, look, Kimluhu l'rabbanan b'kukis sevas. The Rabbanan know this fact, that regarding eating, if you eat the size of a date, with that, your mind is put at ease, you're calmed down. However, less than the size of a kisevis, one is not at ease. Bishtiyah, however, regarding drinking, they know that a person is only calmed down if he drinks the size of his cheekful. If he drinks the size of his friend's cheekful, that would not calm him down. So although it seems like, why is there a discrepancy? But that's how they know this scientific fact, that a person is only calmed down with drinking on his cheekful and eating, however, everyone is the same regarding the size of a date. Now, Maskeb Zer asks on that. Is this logical? You tell me the entire world, no matter the size they are, their weight, everyone is going to be calmed down with the size of a date. For Oig Melcha Basha Mekisevis, and so to Oig, the king of Basha, was this huge giant, he is also calmed down with the size of a date. How can we say that? Meaning drinking, we understand. So everyone's different, so everyone goes with their cheekful. But eating, you tell me everybody is the same, they're going to be put at ease no matter their appetite, their size, with the size of a date? So only Abaye says again, look, Kim Lehul Rabbanan knew the scientific fact, that with the size of a date, a person is put at ease. Now, and therefore he's not in a state of affliction, hence that would be a violation of Asher Lo Su'una of Yom Kippurim. But less than the size of a date, a person is not put at ease. Now, but to address your question that there's obviously discrepancy between Oig Melech Abashan and a little child, mi kula alma tuva, you're right. Everybody in the world is calmed down a lot when they're able to eat the size of a date. Oig Melech Abashan porta, however, Oig Melech Abashan is calmed down a little bit. You're right, it's a longer continuum depending on the size of a person. But everybody's put at ease somewhat. Hence, you're removing somewhat of the inner of the affliction, Yom Kippurim, because you're putting yourself at ease. But there is a difference. There's gradations and levels, obviously, but everyone is violating Ashlei Su'un with the size of a date. So Maskel Reb Zeir, again, Reb Zeir follows on this line of questioning. He says, look, you tell me Basar Shamin B'Kukesev, you tell me fatty meat, that's going to remove the affliction, the size of a date. And so too, the grape shoots are also going to be the same thing as a date, but they have different content inside the food item. How could they be the same regarding what it does to the human body, the same size of a kakeseves? So my Abaye, again Abaye tells us, Kim lul Rabbanan know this scientific fact. The size of a date, it calms down a person. But some halachah, let me ask the lesson that it doesn't calm down a person. Now, miu baser shaman tuva, you're right. Regarding fatty meat, it does a lot because it's very concentrated, the content of the fatty meat. Lelovi gefan and porto, you're right. Regarding the grape shoots, it's much less. But again, they're all going to work on the person calming him down, only the size of a date. But then, of course, qualitatively, it's going to be different. Maskevla Rava. Rava goes with a different question on this. He says, wait. Kizayis bechdeachilis pras. We know regarding, as the Gemara increases, Daf Yud Beis and Beis tells us, that all these surim that are set, mentioned in the Torah, which we said that generally the isser is the size of a kizayis, what you're eating that's forbidden is going to be the size of an olive. However, there's a criteria for that halacha that if one waits from when he started eating, let's say chaylev, a forbidden fat, if he waited from the time when he started up until when he ended more than what's called bechdeachilis pras, the amount of time it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread, which each bread is a shear of 2 meals worth, which means, say, when you're eating a pras, which means half of that loaf, which means, say, 1 meal worth of bread, then what you're eating of a kazayis is not going to combine together to consider what you're doing as if it was a violation. Now, the reason why this is called Bechdei Achilas Pras is because it's going in the context of what's mentioned in Masechtas Erevin, which the Erev is needs to have 2 meals worth to be considered as if your Shabbos residence is in that area. Now that's a share of 2 sudas worth that one has to have on Shabbos. Now it says in that mission over there, the chatzia, half of that loaf, which that loaf is 2 meals worth, is going to be the halacha for a beis hamanuga, which means that if someone goes into a house that has a negev, that has tzaras, then it's going to be metame the garments that he's wearing, which is the shear of achila of a pras, which is half of that loaf. Now, we apply that halacha regarding all shiurim of kezayis. So therefore, if one is eating kezayis, it has to be within the time frame, which is approximately 9 minutes. If one eats it in that time frame that it would take for him to eat a half a loaf of bread, which is 1 meal's worth of bread, that's going to be the shear of time that you have to eat it in. So that, we know, is a shear regarding all the prohibited food items, which is the shear of kezayis, has to be eaten within that time frame. Now, on that, Rav is asking, are you telling me that so too the large date, which is the violation of eating in Yom Kippur, is also within that time frame of Chedei Achilas Pras? And what he's asking is that the shear of Yom Kippur is a larger shear. A large date is larger than the size of an olive. And therefore, why are we saying that it's going to be the same as a kezayis, which is going to be in the amount of 9 minutes? Now, kezayis is smaller, so if that needs that amount of time, so then therefore the large date should require more time. And the sense of that, we're saying that it's only if you're eating it within, let's say, 9 minutes and not, let's say, 15 minutes, is going to be a great leniency, because that means if you're continuously eating on Yom Kippur, if you ate less than that within the time frame of 9 minutes, although you ate it, let's say, within 11, 12, 13, whatever it is, you won't be violating it because it has to be within the smaller time frame for it to be considered a violation. But why is that? If kezayis needs chtechel's pras, the amount of 1 meal's worth, which is a half a loaf, then something larger should require a larger time frame for it to be considered one act of eating. Why is it also kesevis in the shir of chtechel's pras? So again, Omali Abaye answers with the same refrain. He says, Kimlu Rabbanan. Rabbanan knew the scientific fact, that this is how a person gets calmed down, which is the shear of a kesebis of a large date within the time frame of Achilas Pras. Bitfemahachi, however, if one waits longer than that, let's say longer than 9 minutes, loy miyas v'dayte, his mind is not put at ease. And that is, as we said, you're right. If we were following along the criteria of Achila, which is generally defined as kezayis, then it goes qualitatively regarding if you're eating an olive, then it would be within, let's say, 9 minutes. If you're eating the size of a large date, if we were going in the context of Achila, of meals, of regular consumption, it would be a larger share. However, the halacha of Yom Kippurim is not dependent on the act of eating and what's the normative time, how long we give you for it to be considered one act of eating. Rather, it's dependent on the concept of yishuv hadas, of being put at ease, as the pasuk says of asher lo yisuna. Therefore, you can't compare it. It would still be within the same time frame of chtei achilas pras, because it depends on the different criteria, and you can't ask one or the other. And the chacham knew that the amount of the date to put you at ease is only if you ate it within this time frame of achilas pras. However, maskele Rava asked another question, which we cannot give this answer. He says, wait, b'cheseves, regarding this large date of Yom Kippur, you're telling me that's b'chtei achilas pras. However, chatzi pras, a half of a half a loaf, which is basically the half of 1 meal's worth, which that's a different halacha, and that is, again, a whole loaf was regarding the halacha of Erevin. Half of that loaf, which is what's called achilas pras, that was regarding going into a house that has a nega, regarding the garments becoming tamei. Now, half of that, which is considered half of a pras, which is a quarter of a loaf, that's the measurement for a person's physical body to become tamei, which is if someone eats tamei food items, if he eats the shear of a half of a pras, his body becomes tamei from eating truma. Now, the shear of a chatzi pras is a very large shear, which is like 2 large egg sizes, as the Gemara tells in Masechtas Erevin. Now, the question is, even regarding that halacha, we say that the time frame of how long that has to be eaten within is also b'chtei achilas pras. That's also in the same time frame of eating a half a loaf of bread and not more than that. But then the question is, since it's such a large shear, it's bigger than the kazayis, it's bigger than the kebay, we're talking about two bayasais, so then it should require much longer than just a chdechilis pras, because here you can't give the answer we gave before that's totally in Yishav Adas like we gave for Yom Kippur, because here it doesn't depend on Yishav Adas. Here it's a consumption, it's an act of eating. So why are we saying that it's the same as the kazayis, that's chdechilis pras? This is two eggs, two large eggs, it should require a much longer time span. So only Rapapa answers, you're right, essentially you're right, that if we see that an act of eating a kazayis requires, let's say, 9 minutes, then eating something that's an act of eating two egg sizes, which is to invalidate the body regarding eating truma, that should require a much longer shear. However, hanach l'tumas gviyah, but leave alone this halacha of the body becoming tummy in regards to eating truma, delav deraisi, that's not a biblical halacha, that's only a rabbinic injunction to avoid truma becoming tummy. And that's why we were lenient and we allowed it to be only if you ate it within the time span of achilas pras, but longer than that, it wouldn't be considered something that will be mitami, the gviyah, mitami, the person himself. Now, on this answer that Rapapa just gave, the Gemara asks, Umiyam Rapapa Hachi, did Rapapa really say this? That the tumma of gviyah, of a person's body becoming tummy when he eats food items that are tummy, that that's only rabbinic? But we learn the pasuk in Yikra that says, V'loisu tama behem, you should not become tummy with them, richly impure. V'net mesimbam, and you're going to become tummy with them. Now, this was said in regards to consumption. As the pasuk there says, Al teshaks to es nafshe seichem, do not defile your souls by eating these forbidden things. And then the pasuk says, V'loisu tama behem, don't become tummy with them. Now, as Rashi explains, this is obviously not a prohibition of becoming actually tummy. Because Yisraelim, non-kahanim, are not forbidden to become tummy. Because as the pasuk in Yikra Aleph says, Emor el ha-kahanim, only the kahanim are warned about becoming tummy, but a Yisrael, a non-kohen, is not warned about, there's no isser for a non-kohen about becoming tummy. So rather, must be when the pasuk is warning about don't eat these forbidden food items that can convey tumah, must be it's a warning regarding their consumption. Now it says, Vinet mesimam, and you can become tummy with them. Now that sounds like through the eating, one is going to become tummy, because the act of touching them and becoming tummy, that's not a problem for Yisrael, for non-kohen. Must be that through eating them, because that's what we're talking about, the warning, the prohibition of eating them, which is forbidden, they're forbidden food items. Now, the Amr Rapapa, and therefore Rapapa says, Mikan Shatumas Gviyah, from here you see that the tumah, that a person's body will contract through eating these forbidden items that are tummy, that it's going to be deraisa, that it's biblical, that tumah. These tummy things like shratzim, which not only they're forbidden to eat, they're also transmit tumah. Now, although there's no problem for Israel to touch tumah, but it's saying that if he does eat them, which Allah of tumas gviyah, then he'll become tummy in regards to halacha, then obviously you're forbidden to eat truma. Now, how can we, Rav Papa, say that leave alone tumas gviyah, that it's rabbinic, and therefore we were lenient and let it be in the sheva k'dei achilas pras, although logically it should be a much larger shear, because if kazayis is that, so two large eggs should be bigger, but here he says clearly it's deraisa. Another Gemara says no, midrabanan. Truthfully, the halacha of tumas gviyah is only rabbinic, and the pasuk is not talking about tumah. Because truth is, nothing will make a person tummy through eating. The only exception is a nevela, the carcass of a kosher bird, where we say that transmits tummy to the person through the eating when it's in bebe sabli, in his throat. Therefore, this pasuk that's talking about eating is not talking about transmitting tummy through eating. The pasuk rather is only an allusion. It's a support for this halacha that's rabbinic. We find sources for it as we do for all rabbanans, but not that it's a biblical halacha, and that's why we lean it. And rather, as Rashi says, truthfully, the main interpretation of the pasuk we brought down Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph is saying an agadic principle that if a person makes himself tummy a little bit, so then they're going to make him tummy a lot. So that's what it means. The pasuk says, "Don't become tummy, because then v'net mesbam, you're going to become even more tummy." It's some type of retribution for what the person is doing, but it's not talking about tumas gviyah, and that's why we're lenient with tumas gviyah, because although it would seem that if we're saying kzayis is pras, so then two eggs should be much longer, but you're right, but since it's rabbinic, we're lenient. Nothing more continues explaining our Mishnah that said, kol ha'ichlin, all food items, they combine together to be the violation of eating on Yom Kippur if you eat the size of a large date. Now, Amr Papa, Papa says, a chiddush in this halacha, says, the achal umtzu milcha, if one eats a raw piece of meat with the salt that's on it, mitzdarf, the salt actually combines with that meat to be considered a violation of eating Yom Kippur. Now, v'afakav d'lav achilahi, although salt is not generally something that's considered a meichel, a food item, to be liable for eating on Yom Kippur, but kivan na'achli inshim, it's darfim, but since that's the way people eat it, the salt then combines for the volume of the large date together with the meat. Similarly, Amr Shlokesh says, tzirushagabi yerek, the brine, like almost like the dressing that's on the vegetables, mitzdarf likakaysevis b'mikrum, that combines with the shear of a large date on Yom Kippur together with the salad to make the one liable. That thing must pshita. What do you mean? Here it's not even like salt. Brine is something that's eaten. So hence, why would I think that it's not going to combine with the vegetables? That the Gemara says, because ma'adetema mashkahu, I would have thought to say that the salad dressing, this brine, is a liquid. And we know that, we said in our Mishnah, that although one is liable for drinking and eating Yom Kippur, they do not combine. On that kamashma, that's where the chiddush of Rish Lakish is, that kol achshuri uchla, whatever is preparing a food item, in other words, if one is taking a liquid to sweeten and to make the food item better to eat, uchlahu, it has the halachic qualification, classification of a food item, and that's why they do combine even the dressing to be liable for the shear of a kesevas agasa for achila on Yom Kippur. Now, Amr Shlokish, another halacha from Amr Shlokish in this context, it says, if someone eats what's called large eating on Yom Kippur, now what that means is that if someone, let's say, ate on the night, the eve of Yom Kippur, after he was already full from eating his meal by the Suda HaMafsekes, where you eat right before Yom Kippur. Now, whatever you're going to be eating then or that night is what's called achila gasa, which means to say you're already stuffed. Now you're pushing down more food. You're not deriving any pleasure. That's considered achila gasa. And that putter, someone that eats such a food in Kippur is actually exempt from the violation of ashalei su'una. Now my time, what's the reason? Because ashalei su'una ksiv. The pasuk says when you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, it doesn't say you're not allowed to eat. It says that you'll be liable if you're removing the state of affliction. Now, prat lamazik, that will exclude someone that's harming, and that is, he's not removing any a state of affliction through eating this food on Yom Kippur night. Rather, to the contrary, he's actually harming himself. He's just destroying the food, and therefore, that's not a removal of ashalei su'un. It's not like he had these hunger pains, and now he just removed that affliction. He didn't calm himself down. He actually just made himself nauseous, and therefore, he's harming himself, harming the food. That's not considered a violation of ashalei su'un. Similarly, Amr B'Yimri Amr Rish Lakish, Zar She'ochel Truma, a non-kohen that eats Truma b'shogeg inadvertently, where the pasuk makes him liable for not only to repay the principal of the Truma that he ate, you actually also have to pay a chaymish, a penalty of a fifth of that principal also. So if a non-kohen eats that Truma achila gasa, where again he's already stuffed and now he's just pushing down that food, Mishama Sakaran, you'll have to pay for the principal, which you're destroying that, and you have to pay for that. But if ain't Mishama Sakaimish, you don't have to pay for the added fifth. And the reason is similarly kiyoichel. The pasuk says when you're liable for eating a non-kohen who eats truma b'shagig is if you eat it. Prat lamazik, that excludes someone that's damaging the truma where you're not eating it. This is not classified as eating, you're just pushing food into your system, but that's not considered an act of eating, and therefore, although you're responsible for damaging the truma, which that's responsible in any case, but not for eating, and hence that's not going to make him liable the added fifth. Similarly, Omer B'Yimer Omer B'Yechanan, Zara non-kohen, we continue on top of Pe'alav Manalav, She'kaisis sa'oyim shal truma. Now, as Rashi says, the term kaisis is always when one eats something in a non-normative way, the way it's usually eaten. So that's called kaisis. So if someone is eating barley of truma, which generally people don't eat barley as it is, mishalmes hakeren ve'ein mishalmes hachemesh. So he has to pay the principal, but it doesn't pay the fifth. And again, as we said, because kiyachel prat lamazik, if one is eating truma, that excludes someone that's damaging it, that's not considered, quote, an eating. And here, when you're eating barley as it is, without first cooking and doing what's necessary, that would be considered just destroying it, so therefore you have to pay the principal, but not the added fifth. Amar Shizvi Amar B'Yechanan, he says, Zar Shebola Shizifin Shal Truma, a non-kohen that swallows, as Rashi says, prunes of Truma, which he's swallowing without chewing it, V'Hekin, and then he spits it up, V'Ochan Achan, that someone else eats it, so there's many criteria here. First of all, it's prunes that he's swallowing, didn't chew, and then he's spitting it up. And then somebody else eats that, what he just vomited up. So in that Rabbi Yochanan said, Rishon Mishalm Keren B'Chaimish. The first person has to pay the principal and the added fifth. And the reason is because even though he swallowed the prunes, people a lot of times eat prunes that way, that they just swallow it down. Hence, that's considered derech achila, and that would be a violation of achila, which makes the person liable for the fifth. Sheini, ein mishalm el demei eitzim l'rishim levan. However, the second one who ate that vomited up prunes, he only has to pay the value of that in terms of like firewood. And that he pays to the first person. And the reason is because since the first person already acquired that truma, and it was already became liable for its payment, which in his case, the first person would have to pay the keren and the chaymish to the kohen, that whoever's truma it is. Now, therefore, there's no more chaymish for the second person because he's not eating truma. It was already acquired and taken out of the status of truma to the first person, who's a non-kohen, by his consumption, by his swallowing the prunes. So therefore, there's no more halacha of chaymish, of truma, because truma already was transferred to this new money. So there's no chaymish. Now, so although the second person now has to pay the first person who acquired it with his eating, but it's not any more fit for consumption anymore because this is vomited up prunes. It was only useful now in using it as firewood, and therefore the second person has to go ahead and pay the first person because it ultimately was the first person's who then acquired it by having to pay the kohen whose truma was with the fifth because he ate it even though he just swallowed it. Second one has to repay the first one who now he took that person and vomited up prunes, which he could have used in the sense of using as firewood, not in any other way because no one's eating this. But now that he eats, the second one ate it, it's not considered something that would make him liable for chaymish, as we say, because not truma, and it wouldn't even make himself liable for the value of prunes, rather because no one's going to eat as prunes. If anything, people would use it just as firewood, and therefore that's how much he damaged the first person, and that's how much the second one's going to be liable to the first person that ate the prunes and then spit it up.